You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
It is Greeny here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Hembo. Evan Cohen in for Greeny today. Get your brackets in the Tournament Challenge. Free and easy. Download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app. You can fill out up to 25 on the men's and women's side each. Create groups, compete against friends, family, or us here at ESPN Radio as well. The app makes it easy to share your champion and Final Four picks across your social channels. All right, Hembo, joining us now, she is phenomenal on all things basketball, from the draft last year to men's college basketball, women's college basketball. Andrea Carter, she's a former guard at Tennessee, and I've already been shamed. This is remarkable what's happened here. I have been told that because Hembo was on Good Morning America and you were on Good Morning America, that I'm now the only one on the show not on Good Morning America. Instead, I have the morning show on ESPN Radio with Chris Canty and Michelle Smallman. So, Andrea, welcome, and why am I being shamed already?
Thank you for having me. I'm going to shame you again. Hembo and I have already been in cahoots, texting stats back and forth. Mm-hmm. He's already helped me out a little bit this morning.
That's
for some
right.
of my different takes on these other shows. So, Hembo's my guy. I'm not even going to lie. You're a little on the scale.
I got you. Evan, feel free to chime in here and there, but this is where we are.
Do you know that, okay, really, we're going to get behind the scenes now. My first week, I think, at ESPN, I saw Andrea here at the Seaport, and I'm like, I can't tell you how much of a fan I am of yours. And she's like, is something wrong with you? Like, can you leave me alone?
No.
She was so
She
good.
Sent you home with a signed basketball.
Yeah, seriously. It's like, nice job, kid. All right, let's talk about the women's side first. Is there a player or a team, both tournaments, that has more pressure on them than Caitlin Clark in Iowa?
Oh, no. No. No, because Caitlin Clark has so many eyes on her. I will be in an airport, and people that know, they couldn't tell me two other things about the game of basketball want to ask me about Caitlin Clark. Everyone in the country, I would even go saying internationally, everyone wants to see. For Caitlin Clark fans, they want to see if she can create magic. They want to see if she can get it done. Even for people who, let's say they aren't a fan of Caitlin Clark, they're going to be tuned in to see if their team can defeat Caitlin Clark. The eyes on this superstar are going to be unbelievable. And the pressure that she has, it's not just because the eyes are on her. She has risen to every occasion, and she has blasted through, just obliterated anything in her way when it comes to breaking records, when it comes to getting wins. She has not only done it, but she's done it in huge fashion. The bracket is extremely tough for Caitlin Clark and Iowa, and her margin for error is so thin. So there is pressure to the left, there's pressure to the right, there's pressure in front, there's pressure behind, and I don't think anyone can truly compare. She has handled it with grace, she's handled it well, but the pressure is ultimate right now.
What's enough for Iowa and Caitlin Clark? Final Four? Is it title? What's enough for them this year?
Well, for Iowa, they of course want to win a national championship. To me, I was asked earlier if it was realistic, and I said it's not realistic because it would be magical, and magical's the opposite of realistic. It would be a magical run. For me, Iowa, like when I literally sit here and look at this bracket, I'm like, Iowa, there are games early on that I'm worried about. I mean, if they have to face Kansas State, they split with Kansas State in the regular season. Like, there are opportunities. I don't know why the committee gave Iowa this tough of a road. Maybe they wanted to see if they got an even bigger chip on their shoulder. But realistically, like, Elite Eight would be great. Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four would be amazing. Winning a national championship would absolutely blow my mind. But realistic expectations when I look at this region, I'm like, Elite Eight. That's what I see.
It is Greeny here on ESPN Radio, coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17, along with Hembo, Evan Cohen, in for Greeny, joined by Andrea Carter, ESPN college basketball analyst. I want to go back to something you said, because I'm thinking about all the storylines of the women's tournament. There are more than there are in the men's tournament, if we're going to be real. There are much bigger stars on the women's side right now than the men's side. You just said something about the draw that they have, and I play out in my head. Theoretically, should they have done something to ensure the growth of the sport by keeping Caitlin Clark around as long as possible? It is completely illogical and immoral. They shouldn't actually legally be allowed to do that. But that said, this is a sport that is so hot right now. Why are we taking chances to kind of cool it down?
Yeah, you know, it's tough. I was thinking that too. Like when I looked at this bracket, I was like, why? Why would you put Iowa and LSU in the same region? Why would you give us or take away an opportunity for us to see those teams further down the road because they're going to knock each other out early? One of them might knock the other out. Obviously, they both have to get there. But I was frustrated with the committee because I was like, clearly they don't take those things into consideration. I was confused also because with Iowa being the second number one seed, you start to think that their path would be a little bit easier. That's how it works. The overall number one seed and the way that the bracket goes, I was just confused by some of these matchups. There were times where, and I don't know all the nitty-gritty when it comes to putting the bracket together. I'm actually going to get with Joe Lunardi and Charlie Cream to figure that kind of stuff out this summer so I can speak on this a little more in depth. But for me, I was like, could LSU and NC State have just swapped? They're the three seeds. Could they have just swapped there? But I don't know. I don't know the details. It does give us an opportunity to see a superstar player, potentially like Madison Booker at Texas, lead her Longhorns and put another superstar who's a freshman on the map. But when I think about Iowa and LSU potentially taking each other out early and missing an opportunity to see the superstars that most people are familiar with, I'm like, ah, opportunity missed. But I'm also not mad at an opportunity for other superstars to step to the plate. Let me tell you about Madison Booker while we're here. She is a point forward. Texas lost their starting point guard, Rory Harmon, who was an absolute monster, can get a bucket at any time. Rory Harmon goes down at the beginning of the season, and Texas leans on a freshman. We've talked about the freshmen left and right all season long. Juju Watkins, Hannah Hidalgo, Mylaysia Fulwiley. Madison Booker is in that category. Her mid-range game is next level. She can go get a bucket. She's tough. She plays with an edge. She's strong. So when I do see this, I'm like, all right, maybe America gets to learn who Madison Booker is. And I'm not mad about that.
All right, rank these storylines for me. I'm going to give you three storylines. You tell me from most to least interesting with the understanding that they're all obviously really interesting. The hypothetical of these three teams slash players winning it all. Juju Watkins with USC, Angel Reese at LSU, and South Carolina capping it off with an undefeated season. Which is the most, second most, and third most interesting of those three?
Oh, wow. This is...
Not too much to take in there. Seven questions in one. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's brutal. That's terrible. Honestly, I think for me, the most interesting, and it might be other people's least interesting, but if South Carolina goes on to win the national championship after losing the winningest class in program history and losing their starters and having so many pieces where not one player is going to just put the entire team on their back, it could be anybody's day for South Carolina. Mylaysia Fulwiley comes off the bench and won the SEC Tournament MVP. She just signed a deal with the Curry Brand. She comes off the bench. Tahina Paopao, she's a transfer. She came in to run the team at the point guard position. Raven Johnson is on a revenge tour from getting waved off by Caitlin Clark last season. They had a heartbreaking loss last year to Caitlin Clark. So for me, the most interesting story is South Carolina. We don't talk about it a lot because they've won so many games and it's now just become the expectation this season for them to win. But the way they've been able to put these pieces together under the excellent leadership of Dawn Staley is fascinating to me. LSU and then was it
USC?
USC. USC would be second most interesting to me because Juju Watkins leading that team as a freshman, the way that her teammates stepped up in the Pac-12 championship when she was struggling from the field, Mackenzie Forbes goes off for 26. If she helps lead this team to a national championship, it would be unheard of. She's already put up more points than Caitlin Clark did in her freshman year. If you're just comparing freshman year to freshman year, she's already got that down. If she wins it, that would mean Caitlin Clark doesn't get it because USC gets it. So she's already notching things off the list when it comes to being the next superstar of the game. So for me, Juju and USC would be second, and then LSU would be third most interesting. Again, they're all interesting.
Right.
But South Carolina, then Juju and USC, then LSU.
Along with Hembo, Evan Cohen here on ESPN Radio, in for Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. Andrea Carter, ESPN college basketball analyst. More interesting on the men's side, who's in or who's not in?
More interesting. Who's in or who's not in? just pay attention to who's in. Like, who's in? Who made it? Who are we looking for? Who can we make a run? Like, for me, the teams who don't get in, I never know what the committee is thinking. So I just focus on who's in. Those are the teams that I'm locked in on. If you didn't make it, I don't know. You got to take it up with the committee because I can't explain it. I don't know why. If you did enough to get it done or you feel like you did enough to get it done, you're just going to have to do a little bit more next year.
We haven't seen a back-to-back champ in 17 years. Florida Gators did it then, with Joakim Noah and Al Horford and company. You picked them. Jay Williams picked them. Seth Greenberg picked them. All picked UConn to go back-to-back. Why?
Because UConn has all of the pieces. They've got inside scoring. They've got three-point shooting. They've got athletic getting into the basket, point guard play. And kind of like South Carolina, you just don't know whose night it's going to be. It could be anyone's night on any given day. It could be Donovan Clingan scoring 22 on the inside to win the Big East, or it could be different players combining for 40. I don't remember who combined for 40 in the semifinals game for the Big East. I think it was maybe Cam Spencer and Tristan New. Two guards combined for 40. It could be anybody's day for UConn, and I think that's a dangerous team. And in my opinion, when I think about Dawn Staley and I think about Dan Hurley, they're just different. I don't know if it's the Philly thing for Dawn Staley and the Jersey thing for Dan Hurley. I don't know what it is, but their makeup is different. They have the ability to do three important things. Connect to their players on an emotional level. Connect to them on a personal level. So that's one. Connect to the players. Two, get their players to understand their roles. And then three, get their players to understand the game plan. There are coaches that might be able to do one or two. Those two coaches do all three at such a high level. Like, when I'm around them, I'm just like, oh, yeah, you're different. I've spent time with both coaches this season, and there's just something about them. I can't pick against them. Like, they haven't given me a reason to choose against them.
It's a really interesting point because I would describe them both, and I mean this in a complimentary way, as grimy, and they're not afraid to be grimy, where I feel like a lot of people today in leadership positions with modern, quote-unquote, modern-day athletes are afraid to act like that.
Yes. Yeah, they're going to say what's on their mind. They're going to speak the truth. They're going to, you know, like they don't miss a moment to say something, but they also don't overly create moments and try to create drama and stir up stuff. They just handle business as it comes. And I think that that is, I don't know, I just have so much respect for those two coaches. There's obviously, you know, amazing coaches around the country, but those two right now, they're different for me.
All right, Andre, let's finish with this. Give us a sleeper team in the on the men's side and a team that you could see bounced early that we don't expect on the men's side.
Sleeper team. My sleeper team is New Mexico. I'm telling you, New Mexico, they've got something going on there. When I look at the region, I like what I see with that team. I mean, you've got Mashburn, you've got House. House had 28, I think, to beat San Diego State to win their conference tournament. They've got guards. They defend. I just like the way they play. There was somebody that reached out to me who hadn't really seen them play, and they watched that championship game, and they're like, oh, yeah, you were right about New Mexico. They're fun to watch. They're exciting. They could be my team to make a run. I was pretty high on NC State. I'm not going to lie. Did you guys watch NC State?
Well, they're big men I could watch all day long. 6'9", 275, unbelievable.
You know what? He compared himself at the beginning of the season. This is probably one of my favorite quotes all season long. DJ Burns Jr., he was asked about his game or something, and he said, listen, I grew up watching Hakeem Olajuwon, but I ended up with the Zach Randolph body. And that's about as great as you can put it, especially considering it came from him himself. So they were kind of a team I was high on. When I look at their region, I'm like, oh, I don't know. So I'm rolling with New Mexico for my sleeper team, my team that could get bounced. This is tough. I was talking to Seth Greenberg and Jay Will today on Get Up, and I felt like UNC was a little vulnerable only because their second game could be against a really tough, physical, athletic, either Michigan State or Mississippi State team. Like, those two teams I'm pretty high on right now. So I'm a little nervous for UNC. Tar Heel fans are going to be mad at me. That's fine. And then Houston, Jay Will brought this up, but I'll bring it up again. The lack of scoring that they have at times and the lack of depth that they have with their post players is a cause for concern. To put up 41 points in the conference championship game, the way they struggle scoring, I know they play a lot of defense, but the way they struggle scoring, and you've got some high-octane scoring teams in their region, that could be one. If I'm picking one seeds, I'm like, those two could have potential early exits.
Andrea, amazing job. We appreciate all of the help. ESPN College basketball analyst Andrea Carter joining us here on Greeny on ESPN Radio. Thank you.
Thanks, y'all.
All right, Hembo, great job there. I thought you really asked some great questions.
You're a good man. Thanks for letting me butt in.
You said, do you want me to do it? I said, I'm fine. Whatever
fine.
You want.
Yeah, cool.
I just, you know,
no problem.
Here's what you do. You demean me. Is that the right way of saying it?
It's fine.
Tell me
acceptable.
You tell me how dumb I am, and then when you have a chance to be smart with someone else, you back off.
You just avoided my eye contact the 7 times I was trying to come in and ask a question, so I just let it go. I was watching a master at his craft.
I swear to you, I never saw your eye contact.
What a magnificent interview. I could never have touched that. Are you kidding me?
Wow.
Are you kidding me?
Cam?
I thought Hembo did great, and I also wonder if he didn't want to butt in because his number 10 rule was don't pick UConn, and Andrea picked UConn.
Wait, Cam, I need a quick ruling. I know we have to get the Sneaky Hembo trivia.
Yeah.
Which set of rules are worse? Hembo's NCAA tournament bracket rules or my quarterback rules?
I hate this because even when Greeny brought it up, and it is funny because you wrote your rules so badly, but
yes.
At their core, I like the idea behind the rules, and I tried to explain it at the time even before you came on to defend them. Hembo's rules, I think, are all good in theory, but obviously they don't play out in practice as well. So I would say
why?
But can't we mock Hembo's rules the way
because
we would mock
mine? Because one of your first rule or your second rule is don't pick a 16 seed, and it just happens. So
right, it's happened twice ever.
That's what I'm saying. All of them are good in theory, but they don't always play out.
Of course they don't always play out.
Evan's quarterback rules are foolproof.
Foolproof. I'll show you foolproof.
Well, you know
is it
what,
fool
though?
Or fool?
I think it's fool, right? Isn't it foolproof?
I thought it was fool.
I mean, in your case, it's foolproof.
I just don't understand. We are, you know what? And blame me for this because I allowed him to do this. One of his rules, don't pick a 16. Thanks. Really, I would never have known that without you. Don't pick a 16 to win a championship. That's like, you know what? Part of your rules, if we're going to combine the two, if we're combining my QB rules with his NCAA tournament rules, don't pick a team not in the tournament to win it all.
All right, don't pick St. John's this year.
Don't pick St. John's.
Patino's not going all the way.
St. John's, Providence, Indiana State, and Oklahoma, your final four. All right, give us a sneaky Hembo trivia.
I am looking at the list of leading scorers in the NCAA tournament since the year 2000. All right, since 2000, which player has the most total points in the NCAA tournament? That's the question.
We will get the answer next. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Greeny, the podcast.
What are you doing? He's like, Hembo is dancing by way of the wave. That was the single worst dance I have ever seen. I don't even understand. People watching on the ESPN app, along with Hembo, Evan Cohen in for Greeny today.
But don't you understand?
Keep doing this. I mean, this is not a dance. You look like you're directing traffic.
So this is what I do when I'm at weddings. Like
That's
ever,
your dance at a wedding?
To this song, yeah.
Oh, it's specific to that song?
Yeah, just because I like the way that the beat, you know, drops, to use the parlance of our time. And I just like being able to wave my hands and attract attention to myself. You know what's wrong with this dance? Like it's
I went to a bar mitzvah on Saturday night. I'm just thinking, if I were to use this dance at a bar mitzvah, this looks like either a stretch. I mean, what he looks like, he's either stretching.
You look like one of those inflatable men outside the car dealership.
Yeah, you're going into a car wash or a car dealership.
This furniture is 70% off.
You know what else I've realized now? He's tired. He just got very tired doing that. For somebody in such great shape, you are tired.
I'm a little tired.
Rob is now here, our social and digital guy. Would you please continue this, if you may?
The reason I'm tired is because I lifted weights yesterday for a long time.
Yeah.
And so that's why my shoulders are a tad.
So it sounds like you're the one who gets it done. Like Grainger, offering high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click, Grainger.com, or just stop by today.
Wow, okay, and how are your trivia skills?
This is Sneaky Himbo Trivia.
Regular sneaky or extra sneaky?
Oh, extra sneaky today. By total points, who is the leading scorer in the NCAA tournament since the year 2000? The leading scorer in the NCAA tournament since the year 2000.
He's still doing this dance.
Is this more or less impressive than when Jeff Darlington answers NFL questions when
Much
he's spinning
less.
A book on his finger?
This is remarkable.
Nothing
what
has ever been
doing.
Less impressive.
You must be exhausted.
Yeah, but now I'm trying to prove a point because Evan questioned my physical fitness.
I did not question your physical fitness.
I can't wait till you get this wrong.
I'm going to start. My guess is my answer is not even in the top 25, but I'm not good at college basketball. I'm going with a homer pick and a man who won two national championships, Jalen Brunson.
Okay, so that is UConn's Jalen Brunson. Who wants to go next here? What? Oh, Villanova's. What did I say? UConn?
You said UConn.
My bad. Sorry. Villanova's Jalen Brunson. I apologize. Obviously, I know he went to Villanova.
Kim, anyone else in Bristol guessing today?
Josiah, you got a guess?
I don't have a guess. I'm a UConn fan. I'll just say Kemba Walker. Why not?
That's a really good guess, actually.
It's not bad.
That's a really good guess. How did you enjoy the Jalen Brunson years at UConn that I just made up?
Legendary.
Yeah,
he
would have been great at UConn.
Yeah. Okay, who wants to go next? You want me to go next?
Go ahead and go next.
Okay, so I have been debating between two guys, Tyler Hansbrough and J.J. Redick. And I think I am going to go with Tyler Hansbrough.
Brandon is going with J.J. Redick. And Jack, Pineapple Jack, is going with Jalen Brunson. A nice smattering of answers.
Okay.
Are you ready for me to deliver the actual answer?
Yes, but please do your dance while doing so.
The correct answer.
Can't hold you.
Okay, the correct answer is Tyler Hansbrough.
Whoa! Yes!
Evan!
Yes!
That is a good, good pull. Attaboy.
Wow, I have had some day with
Attaboy.
This.
Attaboy. Let me read you the top five. Number one is Hansbrough. Number two, Drew Timmy, who was in college for
I forgot Gonzaga. About him. Yeah.
Then Juan Dixon. Then Nick Collison, then Russ Smith, and then Jay Williams.
Wait.
Jay Will.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, so Juan Dixon from Maryland, Russ Smith from Louisville. Who else did you have in there?
Nick Collison
from Kansas.
From Kansas.
That one surprised me. Because Nick Collison was a really good player and was a great member of the Oklahoma City Thunder for a decade plus. I want to say he may even have his jersey retired, and he should. By the way, don't smirk at that. You're smirking.
I'm smirking, but I'm not smirking at what you're saying. I'm smirking.
You're kind
at,
of smirking. I'm you don't smirking believe
at
that
my spreadsheet.
Why?
Because J.J. Redick is 12th. I thought he'd be higher.
Oh,
12th.
Anyway, so you're not smirking at the Collison.
No, I mean the Collison was a legend.
Where is Brunson?
Brunson is not especially high on the. Let me see here. This is good radio. Jalen Brunson, 168 points in the NCAA tournament for his career, which since 2000 ranks 61st.
Okay.
So give us the top 10, actually.
If you could. Hansbrough, Drew Timmy. Juan Dixon, Nick Collison, Russ Smith, Jay Williams, Justin Jackson, Shelvin
from
Mack.
North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Shelvin Mack from Butler.
And then Wayne Ellington.
From North Carolina.
Mostly it's a product of how many games you played in the tournament, obviously.
Right. And for how many years you were in college.
Right, and in some cases, many, many years.
Right, all
many,
right.
Many
so there
years.
You go.
Good pull.
That's great.
Very well done. You are showing your college basketball genius today in a way I did not expect.
Mm.
You are...
So sweet of you.
You are indescribably knowledgeable in this area.
You want to come up with another one for me?
A job well done. I will come up with another one from you, like more like your era.
90s.
For the last segment of the show. I will ask you a 90s college basketball question in the last segment of the show.
Okay, Cam and I together.
Fair enough.
Okay, done.
Cam, were you even born during the 90s?
No, but I like working 97. With Cam on this.
Okay. Oh, a group for you and Cam.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have it ready.
Yeah.
I'll have it ready
right
by the end of the show.
Okay. All right. Now, what we saw over the weekend, obviously the selection show for both men's and women's, a selection it was great, obviously, for both men's and women's, and gave us so much to talk about as we've done. Also, maybe possibly the best off-season free agency stuff we've had over a 2 or 3 day stretch, more than the first couple of days. If you think about just alone, I'm going to run through this very quickly. Some of the highlights that happened Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Again, you're giving me looks. What's today? What's this look for?
This look is just, there's a lot written on that paper that you said you were going to run through quickly.
It'll be quick. Minnesota traded up. They get an extra first round pick. Everyone's assuming that they're going to get 11 and 23. Mike Vrabel, out of nowhere, was hired as a consultant for the Cleveland Browns, which is going to get everyone to think he's going to take the Browns job at some point or take the Ohio State job. The Steelers trade Kenny Pickett to Philadelphia, which not many of us have talked about the Philadelphia side of it, which as bad as Kenny Pickett had been at times or as much of an attitude as maybe he had this offseason, getting a failed first-round quarterback as your backup quarterback if you're Philly, for you and Cam, I think is a good thing. The Rams signed Jimmy G to be a backup quarterback. Not going to be there the first two games. Oh, by the way, the greatest defensive player maybe of this era, Aaron Donald, retired. Anybody want to talk about that? I feel like we did the retirement show for him a year ago when we all thought he was going to maybe retire. The Jets signed Tyron Smith. The Bears trade Justin Fields to the Steelers, which we'll get back to here in a second. And you also had another slip-in move that I think is very interesting. The Browns signing Tyler Huntley. They now have four quarterbacks that they're telling us that they like. Deshaun Watson, Jameis Winston, Tyler Huntley, and Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Just something to keep an eye on. But with the Bears, the situation now that Caleb Williams is walking into. He has wide receivers in DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. He has a tight end in Cole Kmet, who's excellent. He has a running back in DeAndre Swift, who you're very familiar with, coming over from your Eagles most recently. And they have a good defense. And maybe most importantly, because everyone is going to focus on the return for Justin Fields, he doesn't have to ever answer a single question about Justin Fields. Not on the team, right? They should have arguably traded him earlier or later. They traded him when they did to avoid any conversations about Justin Fields. Is there a quarterback, whether it's a rookie or an established quarterback, that will either join a team or change teams this offseason that will enter a better situation on paper than Caleb Williams?
Yes, the Minnesota Vikings. The Minnesota
Sam
Vikings.
Darnold is entering a better situation? Or the presumed draft pick?
I mean, whoever. I mean, the situation isn't changed. I mean, it's Sam Darnold if he's, you know, we know he's going. And presuming that they're going to draft a quarterback in round one, which I think they will do after moving up again, that person is walking into an outstanding situation.
Why?
Because Kevin O'Connell has demonstrated that he really, really gets it. He is a more with less, and he doesn't have less. He's got a lot of weapons there. He's got Justin Jefferson, who is the defining receiver of the NFL right now, in my opinion, either he or Tyreek Hill. Jordan Addison, who is, at worst, a really good two, and an offensive line that ranked third last year in pass protection. You can't ask for a better situation, especially if you're a rookie quarterback onboarding into the NFL. Sam Darnold is a reasonable option to be a bridge quarterback, and if he winds up being their week one starter, or if he winds up being their 17-game starter, that team can exceed expectations because of that environment. And if they wind up putting a rookie in that situation, that is the quarterback drafted in the first round this year likeliest to succeed.
I hate adding to your point because it's you, but let me add one other thing. Keep an eye on one move. It's a very under-the-radar move, but Andrew Van Ginkle to the Minnesota Vikings goes to Brian Flores' defense. When you watch that guy play last year for the Dolphins, he played a million different positions, and all you could think about in watching him is, oh, Belichick will get him. Belichick will get him. And in essence, Belichick got him. But Brian Flores is his own man, his own person, but comes from that same theme and that school. That defense may be a little bit better than people realize. I don't know how. See, the problem is when you apply the name. Sam Darnold, it's hard for me to say he's walking into the best situation, but if you're going to tell me that 11 and 23 is going to move up to number 5, let's say, with the Chargers, and J.J. McCarthy, jury's out, Michigan quarterback, the situation that he could be walking in is very interesting, because I will go back to something that you and I have talked about, and this would apply to Justin Fields, even though I love the move for the Steelers and I love the move for him, quote-unquote failed first-round quarterbacks don't then succeed after that. And Sam Darnold is one of them, now with his fourth team in, what, 3 or 4 years mm-hmm. here at this point. But the Commanders situation, the Patriots situation, Giants, Vikings, Broncos, these are all environments that a quarterback potentially could walk into. Commanders are interesting to me. I don't think it's better than the ones we've mentioned necessarily, but the Commanders have really been intentional on bringing in character guys. Bobby Wagner, Austin Eckler. They've made decisions here. Dan Quinn is a rah-rah type of guy. There is a very positive environment. They are trying to recreate culturally the Warriors. And I know that's a weird comparison, but Bob Myers is the person who ran the Warriors and did help consult with this coaching search. And I think they're trying to lead with joy, as the Warriors say, and not the discipline. So I think whoever it is at the commander spot is going to be in a very supportive environment. It doesn't mean they're good. It means that they're supportive.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
If I promised you, for the sake of this discussion, if I promised you that Caleb Williams would start 17 games for the Bears next season, how many of those games would they win? Let's pretend we're obviously fast-forwarding from now until week one of the season. Based on what you see right now, the facts on the ground, how many games do the Bears win next year if he starts 17 times?
Am I nuts to say 8?
Well, if you were to say 8...
That's one win more than last year, correct?
That's correct.
So I'm saying that is... Okay, maybe not. Let's go 9.
Do you know how many quarterbacks ever won 8 games after being drafted number one overall as a rookie?
Probably none. One?
And it was Andrew Luck. He's the only one. This is crazy to me. I'm looking at the list of quarterback wins in rookie season among guys ever drafted with the first overall pick. There's obviously a lot of these, and a lot of them are recent. But Andrew Luck won 11 games in 2012. From there,
so good.
You jump. He was so good. From there, you jump down to Sam Bradford, who won 7 in 2010. And beyond that, it's just a never-ending list of 6s and 5s and 4s and 3s, which is to say, obviously the Bears, having drawn the 9th overall pick, drafting first because of the trade with Carolina is why they're in this position. But even so, to get them to 8 or 9 wins would be super rare historically. And while I think that they could pull it off, the division's still really, really good. And I'm very skeptical when it comes to the playoff rookie quarterback.
Tell me how many wins the Vikings will have if J.J. McCarthy is their starter.
17 games?
No, 12.
Well, what I'm saying
is 17 games.
He'll be the year-long starter is what I'm asking.
Yes.
Assuming he's ready to start week one, I think that's like a 9 or 10 win team next year.
Okay, so you tried to defeat my whole point and then made the same one using a different guy that is theoretically worse.
Theoretically, but I think that's a much better situation. A much,
much
better situation.
Much better?
Mm-hmm.
Because of the laundry or because of the team? Like, are you assuming things are going to go wrong because of the fact that it's the Chicago Bears?
In some sense, the Bears are paying that tax, but I'm just looking at a Vikings team right now that is in a ready-made environment. Let's be honest. Kirk Cousins is an average quarterback.
But oh, my
God. He played good. He played good under Kevin O'Connell. Good in that system. And that's something that I think will translate well, obviously, to whomever comes next. And I just saw Brian Flores do an outstanding job with nothing from a personnel standpoint on that defense.
Yeah, and now they've improved, I believe.
What I'm saying is, if I'm often asked the question, as I'm sure you are, who is the best quarterback in this year's draft? To which I always respond, I've got to know where they're going first, because that's the most important factor.
Okay, two things. One, you made a bold statement that I think is ridiculous, calling Kirk Cousins an average quarterback. You have to at least give me above average on that. That is ridiculous to say he's average. Look at the numbers over the course of the decade that he has been in the league. That's number one. Number two, you're going to tell me situationally we've seen a lot of places better than that of Chicago in terms of the team, take away the history and the laundry, just in terms of the setup they have with those two receivers, running back, tight end, O-line, and that defense. I mean, Caleb Williams is walking into a really good situation. Also, they have the number one pick, not because they were terrible, but because someone else was mm-hmm. terrible. And that matters, right? Like, that matters in this whole conversation because it's not actually their pick. They were the 9th pick. They have the 9th pick. That's how they were bad, but not number one overall bad.
Mm-hmm.
Not this year, at least.
I don't view these moves the Bears have made this offseason as positively as you do. I think DeAndre Swift is a replacement-level running back. I think Keenan Allen is most definitely worth the first-round pick, but I'm not looking at a series of weapons.
First-round pick.
What did I say?
First.
Fourth-round pick.
Yeah, fourth.
Excuse me. Yeah. I don't think that the series of weapons that they've added give them anything more than an average group in that sense. I was reliably informed the offensive line was terrible, which is why Justin Fields was taking all these sacks. And while the defense did improve a lot the second half of last season after adding Montez Sweat, I'm not seeing like a top 5 or 10 unit there. I guess I just – the Bears – when it comes to the Bears, I just have to be a skeptic because that's what history tells me I should be.
Okay, so if we're going to use – Cam has provided us a list of teams that he could see quarterbacks in the first round drafted to, right? Bears, Commanders, Patriots, Giants, Vikings, Broncos. We are going to debate between the Bears and the Vikings as the best possible situation. I'm not mad at your Vikings situation. I just want to point that out. Like, I understand where you were coming from. The worst of those situations?
Hmm.
Because I think that you can make an argument it's Denver.
I think you could make an argument that it's New England.
I think you can too, yeah.
You
no
do.
Question.
You're there.
Oh, yeah. The good thing about New England, though, is I don't believe that guy is going to have to play, whomever that is, whether it's Jaden Daniels or Drake May.
I think they're going to trade down.
Well, obviously the Vikings would be the place to do that with, but I wouldn't necessarily do that because I think that's too low if they want a quarterback.
You don't
want
to fall from 3 to 11 is what you're saying.
No, you're fine going from 3 to 5.
But not 3 to 11.
No, and I also think if you're the Chargers, I think you actually have to operate as if you're good, even though you're not. What I mean by that is if the Vikings call you and say, we'll give you 11 and 23 for 5, I think your next move is to draft at 11 and at 23 hope that a team in the second round wants to trade up to the first round and you get their first round pick next year. What good teams do is they try to operate with always an extra first round pick in the next year to always have in your back pocket if need be. And I think the Chargers can operate under the place of, obviously we're going to be good. We have Harbaugh and we have Herbert. Not in, we need two first rounders right now. Put one in your back pocket, trade out of the first round this year, get an extra one next year. Even if you think this draft is better, it does not matter because at some point, Mack is going to be gone, Bosa is going to be gone, you restructured with both of them. We know you need wide receiver and offensive line help. You can get that at 11 and in the second round, especially the wide receiver position in the second round. I'm entering every year, if I'm them, with an extra first round pick because I have to operate under the premise, of course I'm going to be good. Tune into NBA action tonight. Warriors host the Knicks, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Coming up, one former coach was fired up about a controversial decision made over the weekend. We'll get to that next. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny, here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. And Hembo is the worst dancer ever. He does... Cam, how did you describe it? He's like the blow-up guy.
At the car dealership.
At the car dealership.
Am I the guy or am I the inflatable?
No, you're the inflatable. Yeah, sorry, you're not a person. Our bad. Cam and I never want to assign you to actually being a human being.
Please don't.
All right, we have an NCAA tournament trivia here, and then we're going to... There is a piece of sound that is so amazing, yet the reason why this piece of sound exists is so illogical, not by the person, but by the NCAA, which, by the way, you can fill out your brackets today. Download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app. Up to 25 men's and women's brackets. Join us. Be a part of it with the ESPN Radio team as well. What do you have for the trivia?
Okay, you asked me for an NCAA tournament trivia question from the 1990s. Here it is. It's group trivia. You're going to work on it with Cam. I will be no help. There are four programs that reached the national championship game multiple times during the decade of the 1990s, and you are going to give me all four programs.
Well, Kentucky did it for sure. That's one of them. Duke did it because they won back-to-back. UNLV did it because they were in it back-to-back. Again, they won against Duke, and then they lost against Duke in the Final Four the next year. And I believe Kansas.
Here's what I got, because that was fast. I have Duke with 5, Kentucky with 3, Arkansas with two and Michigan with two.
I screwed up.
Two out of four.
What?
Terrible.
Was the
Arkansas? Yeah, you're right. 94, they won.
Corliss Williamson,
Scotty Thurman, Alex Dillard, Darnell Robinson, Lee Wilson, tons of guys there that were very good.
Missing UNLV? Let me see here.
Wouldn't UNLV have been there in 90 and 91 or 91 and 92?
Maybe it was 89 and 90.
Oh, yeah.
Got the question asking wrong.
No, I did not. No, because they lost. They lost in the Final Four in 91.
What did you say? National championship game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My bad. I literally got it wrong by answering. The way I answered it was actually wrong.
You were answering a different question.
Yeah. Terrible job by me. All right. Well done by you. All right. You 1-1 today.
Good job by you.
Yeah. Good job. All right. So this is so remarkable what the NCAA is doing today. It is beyond comprehension what they're doing. I'm going to let Tom Crean go first here. He is the ESPN college basketball analyst. He, of course, former coach at Georgia, Indiana, and Marquette, had this to say about teams currently now skipping the NIT. And I will tell you what the NCAA is doing as soon as Tom Crean speaks.
There's no question about it. I would want to coach. I would want to develop my team. You've got bigger staffs than you've ever had. There's plenty of time for the portal. There's plenty of time to talk to recruits. There's plenty of time to negotiate NIL deals. There's not plenty of time to play. There's not plenty of time to get your players on the floor and give them a chance to get better. There's not plenty of time for guys to continue to play that may never get to play again. And that, to me, is absolutely ridiculous. It's each coach's choice. I get it. But if you take away a chance to play the games, to put your team on the floor, let them opt out. All right, the bowl season has it all the time. Let it happen. Who cares? Give your players and coaches a chance to keep coaching and playing, and don't shortchange. If a guy doesn't want to play, go sit down. If a coach doesn't want to coach, go recruit. But there's got to be enough people to put 5, 6, 7 people on the floor and go play. Makes absolutely zero sense to me.
All right, there's Tom Crean, who competed in the NIT 4 different times with this team. Thank you, Cam. 2000, 2004, 2005, 2017. But why are teams choosing to not be in the NIT? That's the other tournament that we have here in addition to the NCAA tournament. You don't make the NCAA. Normally, you compete in the NIT. NIT semifinals and finals are in Madison Square Garden. So it's a big deal if you get there in terms of, hey, that's cool, you're going to New York. Well, because for some idiotic reason, the NCAA decided to open up the transfer portal for college basketball today. That's literally like deciding, you know what? 17 games are over in the NFL. I know we still have the playoffs, but let's start free agency on the Monday after the final Sunday of the NFL season. And you could say, hey, in college football, we have the same kind of thing. College football has about 90 guys on a roster, and they have a month in between the end of the regular season and the beginning of the bowl season, so teams can develop players that they aren't playing as much and or work in the transfer portal themselves. Guess what? If you're a team that was supposed to be good and you don't make the NCAA tournament in the modern day way in which we're operating here, guess what you do? You get rid of guys and you go and get different guys. That starts today. So they are forced into making a choice. Tom Crean, to be fair, and I'm not ripping on Tom Crean, I'm saying the circumstances that he experienced are not the same as today. He didn't have to end a season with Indiana, Georgia, Marquette, whatever, and decide in that moment, do I bring this group for more basketball? And would I miss out on other players by doing so? Or do I just worry about next year's team? This is a ridiculous either or that doesn't even, Hembo, make sense as an either or. Either you keep playing or you worry about next year because free agency, in essence, has already started.
I want to read a thought-provoking tweet from our colleague Peter Burns at the SEC Network. He asked, what if a player puts their name in the portal before a tournament game as leverage for NIL deals? And then what if an entire team did that? What if several teams did that? What he posits is that the entire NCAA has never been more at risk than they are the next few weeks. Best I can tell, there's nothing stopping that from happening. Wasn't it a Texas backup quarterback that transferred out before they wound up even playing in the semifinal in football? I want to say Quinn Ewers backup wound up transferring.
There was another guy in addition.
Malik Murphy transferred to Duke on January 6th.
Okay, so I had that right. At least the fact that it's possible, which is super weird. I don't know if we're going to see anything like it, but I definitely know that the schedule right now, the way that the calendar is constructed, makes absolutely no sense. I understand. Believe me, I understand, Tom, exactly what you're saying and where you're coming from. But if you're a coach living in this new NIL world, then it behooves you to invest every resource, every bit of energy, effort, and enthusiasm that you possibly can into that piece of your coaching.
Okay, so what you're actually saying, or what in this case, what Peter Burns is saying, this is very interesting. You're saying that Zach Edey, let's just say, Purdue, going into the Sweet 16, I may or may not be an NBA player. You want me to play in the Sweet 16, you got to up the ante a little bit. Or I'm actually going to take that extra year and I'm going to go to St. John's because Rick Pitino is actually here at the game and he's offering more money. Yes, what you just said is brilliant by Peter Burns. But what you just said is brilliant because what this now also opens up are those that are still playing. Wow. Carlin versus Joe coming up next. Make sure you fill out your brackets on the ESPN Tournament Challenge app. For Hembo, I'm Evan Cohen. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.